Our scripture reading for today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. And this can be found on page 812 in your pew Bibles. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Precious Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your word. We are grateful for the simplicity of it. At times, although it can be very complex, this morning, simply one verse for us to think about. So help us to do that. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm reading through a book titled, You Are What You Love by James Smith. And the author recounts a time when he was in Britain visiting a museum in London, and he was captivated by a painting. In fact, if you look at your bulletin, the picture of the painting is there for you to take a look at. It's more impressive in color. When you go home, you could simply Google that, and that image will come up. I think it's a pretty cool picture. It's titled The Boyhood of Raleigh, and it attempts to tell the story of who would eventually become Sir Walter Raleigh, the great intrepid explorer under Queen Elizabeth. If you know your history, you'll recall that fellow's name. I like this picture. When I got to this point in the book, I sort of went off into my own world, and I wanted to share with you some thoughts that spun off. Looking at that picture, you see a few things. First thing that I noticed was there was an older man pointing towards the sea. The older man is hardened, his skin was salted, he is a ex-sailor perhaps, and he's pointing the boys towards the sea with great tales of thrilling adventure. You can sort of just imagine. What I'm imagining is the beginning is, you know, boys. He's drawing them in. The first time I set sail as a young man, I remember, you know, and then you sort of look at the boys' faces. They're totally hanging on every word of the man. In the black and white, it looks like they're angry, but they're not. They're really just stuck on what he's saying. They're hanging on every word as he paints these pictures and tells them the stories. Something interesting starts to happen in their own lives, and that is they start to see themselves as sailors. They imagine themselves on the water, on the boat, commanding the crew. And I think there are two lessons that we could learn from all of this. I'm going to share two simple lessons. First, the person and the message are one. The person and the message are one. Think about the man telling the story. He was a sailor. He knew about boats, voyage, saltwater taffy, anchors, he knew it all because he actually did it. It was real to him. Let me say this in another simpler way. He just embodied the message. Let's go back to our verse this morning. Simple verse, 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow me as I follow Christ. Follow my example as I follow Christ's. Simple verse. But I personally believe that this is one of the most profound verses that Paul ever writes. And that's kind of going out on a limb theologically, since Paul did write so much of our New Testament. Why do I say that? Follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me. In other words, I am here with you. I am the example that you should esteem to be. In other words, if you want to know how to act, just watch me. Follow me as I follow Christ. Now, as we detach ourselves from this thousands of years later, it's just a cute verse. But think about the pressure. Think about Paul and what he is saying to this church. He is saying, look at my life and model yourselves after it. Follow me. If you take that verse and stop right there, that's exactly what he is saying. All eyes on me. He embodies the message. Paul is the message. We see this all throughout the scripture. When he writes to the church of Thessaloniki, he writes, "Follow me as I followed Christ." Listen, our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we provided to be among you. You be imitators of us and the Lord. Again, we hear this same kind of idea. He calls them to be imitators of us. That means himself and whoever his missionary team was. But that's something that I think we need to think about. We need to think about in the church. We see this in the movies. We see this in daily lives. I'll tell you one movie that really hits this home, and it is such a powerful, moving scene, is the movie Good Will Hunting. If you recall, there's the young Will Hunting, played by Matt Damon, and his counselor, Robin Williams. And Will Hunting is sort of just, he's a genius. He just knows math problems intuitively, and he's off the charts smart, but he's never really experienced things. And I remember one time sitting in the office, the young man makes a personal dig to the counselor, and it was about the counselor's wife that had passed away. And he stopped the session because it made him really mad, and he knew that he didn't want to say anything that would potentially hurt that relationship. And the next scene, I believe, cuts to something very powerful. It's them sitting on a bench. And I just want to read how this goes. "You're just a kid. You don't have the faintest idea of what you're talking about. It's all right, because you've probably never been out of Boston. So if I've asked you about art, you'd probably give me the skinny on every art book ever written. Michelangelo, you probably know a lot about him. You can tell me about the Sistine Chapel, but here's one thing you can't do. You have never actually stood there and looked up at that beautiful ceiling. If I've asked you about a woman, you'd probably give me a list of the most beautiful in the world. But," he goes on and says, "but you can't tell me what it means to wake up next to a woman and feel truly happy. You're one tough kid. But if I'd ask you about war, you'd probably throw Shakespeare at me and quote something at me. And if I'd asked you about love, you'd probably quote me a sonnet. But you've never looked at a woman and been totally vulnerable. Someone that could level you with her eyes, feeling that God put an angel for you right here on earth. And you would know what it means to be her angel, to have love for her, be there for her, through anything, even cancer. And I doubt you've ever dared to love anyone as much as yourself." So what was the point? The point is this. He's taking a young kid that knows things here, but he's saying, "I have embodied all of those lessons. Sure, you could quote me a book, but I've lived them." And all throughout the movie, he was giving snarky answers. And after he told that to him, he just sits there quietly because he knew that that was the truth. And how did he know? Because he knew that that man walked with his wife through cancer, and he stood over her grave and had to bury her. He knew what love was, whereas young Will, he knew it in a way that was just reading it in a book. This sailor embodied the message. Paul embodied the message. We as Christians have to embody our message. I can remember setting up times in the youth group when I was at Northminster, and I would always try to get the kids outside of the church. And so periodically, we would go to the city rescue mission, and we would serve. We would serve the homeless as they would come through. And I can remember doing this for years, And there was one girl that grew up in a youth group when she was a senior in high school. I still never forget. She didn't say this to me. She said it in passing. She said, "I never thought I would be doing something like this. I thought this was only something my mom did." That's what she said. "I thought this was only something my mom did." But even more beautiful than that is that she was becoming that person. It was becoming her normal. You see, serving others wasn't just something that she was talking about. Now it is something she's actually doing. She was leading by example. You have to lead by example. We have to lead by example, whether that is as a parent, a grandparent, a teacher, a Christian, whatever it is, the greatest tool you have in your tool belt is to lead by example. Paul said, "Follow me." He didn't say follow a list of rules. He said, "Follow me, because I will embody that message." Now, if that scares you because you're thinking, "Pastor Anthony's telling me to be perfect," that's not what I'm telling you. Paul was the first person, in fact, many times throughout the Bible, when Paul talked about sinners, he literally called himself the chief of sinners. Numero uno. But you see, what was great about Paul is in his weakness, he glorified Christ. That is leading by example. The second thing we can learn, follow me as I follow Christ, is this. Notice the environment of the story. Notice the environment of the story. The man did not take the two boys to a classroom, give them a piece of paper, a pencil, and go to a chalkboard. He didn't draw a diagram of a boat. No. He brought them right to the edge of the water. Their feet were in the sand. They could hear the crashing of the waves. They could smell the sea salt. And he was pointing and pointing. And what was happening in their minds and in their hearts as they were experiencing these things is something that could never happen in a classroom setting. And I am here to challenge our youth, our Sunday school teachers, in a gentle and loving way, that perhaps we spend a little too much time in the classrooms, and maybe we need to get out in the real world a little bit more. Because there's nothing like standing in a line, pouring food in someone's bowl, and watching the look on their face, because that's the only meal of the day, versus hearing Jesus fed the 5,000. Paul, when we think about him, was rubbing shoulders with people. Open your Bible up and read through Paul's letters, or read through Acts. Paul is never caught in a cubicle. Paul is with people, rubbing shoulders with the good, the bad, and the ugly. And believe me, there were the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so that, I think, is our job too. Perhaps we make it a little too easy when we just want to love the Lord our God with just our minds. Remember, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. There's a variety of ways there, but we kind of reduce it just to loving God with our minds. It's more than just a textbook. We got to get out there and find ways to be creative and reach people's hearts. Here's a great, great quote. "If you want to build a ship, don't drum up people to collect wood and don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea." Now let's conclude by thinking about Jesus. Jesus was, you never really hear a lot of preaching in the Gospels. You have the Sermon on the Mount, but most of it is Jesus teaching. He's the great teacher. In fact, history calls him the master teacher. Think about the many ways Jesus was the master teacher. When we read through the Bible, you hear Jesus saying, like, "I am the light of the world," or "I am the living water." They're just words, but remember, this took time in a place and in a setting that was powerful. "I am the living water," perhaps, is coming in a hot desert. where your tongue is sticking to the roof of your mouth because you are that thirsty. And there is a well with water. And the most important thing in your life at that moment is just to get a drink of water. And Jesus says that right there. I am the living water. And in fact, even more so, because once you drink that down, you're going to become thirsty again. But when you experience living water, you'll never thirst again. I doubt anybody that day forgot that lesson. Jesus, the master teacher, found ways to get his disciples out of people's ways too. Mark chapter 9, Jesus took Peter and James and John to climb a mountain for a spiritual retreat. Mark chapter 14, Jesus and his disciples went to the upper room for the Last Supper. And Mark 14, later on, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John to the garden. We read this all throughout the Bible. And what is happening here? Jesus, he's teaching. He's painting pictures. He's creating retreats. He's doing exactly what this man is doing with these young children. He's bringing them and telling stories and capturing their attention. And something inside of them is becoming alive. As we conclude today, a beautiful picture that often goes overlooked, it's something we hear all the time, is this phrase in the Bible, the kingdom of God. You've heard it before. The kingdom of God is like this, and the kingdom of God is like that. You probably heard it before, but Jesus is painting a picture like the sailor. Think about it. As his message spreads throughout the world, the kingdom of God looks like. What does that mean? It means that wherever you see the kingdom of God spreading, it's just like a little bit of heaven right here on earth. And the more that the kingdom of God spreads in every little nook and cranny of the world, the more it spreads, the more we see the message of Jesus, the message of heaven right here on earth. So when you hear him continually saying, the kingdom of God is like, friends, he's painting a picture of what life could be like for those that know him and love him. And as that message spreads, as he uses us to spread it, more of that kingdom, more of heaven on earth will be spread right here. So if you want to know what it's like to have a revival, if you want to know how to impact this world for the better, be part of the message. Be part of the message. Help spread that message, remembering that you are the example. And every time you are the example, you are helping to spread the kingdom of God right here on earth. You have a responsibility, and I have a responsibility in that. And that responsibility goes beyond these walls, and it goes beyond Sunday morning. So as we pray this morning, think, pray. Where do I fit in this picture? Because if you're here today, I promise you, you do. God has something inside of each and every one of you that he wants to use. So come down from the sidelines, much like what we saw this morning. Come down from the sidelines and use the things that God has for you. Amen? Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, help us to say yes. Help us to be open to the talents that you've given us. Lord, it is one thing to be on the sidelines, but it's a whole other thing to be in the game. We're grateful for those that have already said yes. We pray, Jesus, that you would awaken the giants within for those that are waiting, ready to say yes and enter into your work. We're thankful for what you're going to do. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.